Other. Present today. Or Council President Karen Hardy Nagel, Councilwoman Dillard, Councilman.
That'd be the last. I'll give it to him.
Sheldon, Councilman Taggart, Councilman Powers, Co-Chairman Bill Bell, President Pro Tem Penrose Holmes, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Dillard, and my trusty aide, Mrs. Sharnice Jackson. What's your pleasure on the minutes?
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Before I go to the agenda, I'm on exercise of prerogative of the chair. And I want to commend and congratulate Colonel Vaughn for being nominated and recommended to be chief of the Newcastle County Police Department. And I probably can't convey in words how excited I am and happy I am for you on yet another historical journey.
By the way, you're buying at the council.
Where are we going?
I know that
you didn't get invited to this one either.
That your belief in the principles of manhood, scholarship, perseverance, and uplift, and recognition that friendship is essential to soul, is part of what has taken you on this historical journey. Now, so the director doesn't get upset, Joe, it's important to me that I recognize and let everybody know that as far as I'm concerned, this is a 40-some year journey for you. And when we were at the school at the University of Delaware, you broke barriers, you made history. You and your line brought Kappa Alpha Psi to the University of Delaware. And then you decided to enter into new territory and go into the Newcastle County Police Department. And from the time you began your tenure as an officer, you were committed to diversity, I know for a fact, about the many, many things that you did to recruit officers and change diversity. And having rose to the level that you rose before you retire, and then you come back, and there's no question that on your watch as Director of Public Safety, diversity changed categorically across all departments. And you have brought great diversity to the police department. During your tenure as director, you've had a class of paramedics that was most diverse in the county's history. So I know this is where you wanted to get to when you started, and I don't know if you thought you would get there, but you got there. So I want to thank you for everything you've done to make this happen. And so as far as I'm concerned, part of this is a credit and a tribute to all the work that you've done over the last 40 years. With that, first item on the agenda is 17-012. It's under sponsorship, Co-Chairman Bell and I. Co-Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have our Coordinator of Emergency Management, Dave Carpenter, with us this afternoon. So I would ask the Chair's consideration to have Dave comment on both of the 012 and 014.
So be it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Councilman Bell. 012, I'll be pretty brief, is our annual allotment for the Department of Homeland Security grant funding that comes from Delaware Emergency Management Agency through the Department of Homeland Security at the federal level. The state is recognized and signed off on by all the counties to be the jurisdictional agency and the governor's authorized agency for administering those grant funds. So we let the state do that through the statewide working group that meets on a monthly basis. That's where we determine projects submitted from each of the jurisdictions and agencies submitted through that group. I sit as a member on that group, along does representatives from each of the different disciplines on police, non-emergency communications, etc. And that's where we determine the level of funding that comes to each of the jurisdictions. Through that funding, then we have to appropriate that, obviously, to track those assets and account for those assets. The other avenue of funding that's within this package is each of the disciplines have the ability to apply to the training and exercise funding that is available and allocated through that grant program. And on an annual basis, there might be opportunities for police, paramedics, 911 operators, or ourselves to attend that training that's funded by DEMA. That training has to be spent agency dollars first and then reimbursed by the program. So that's what appropriation is allocated within this ordinance also.
Any questions, comments from council members? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 014 is the appropriation allocation for a federal Department of Homeland, or I'm sorry, Federal Emergency Management Agency pre-disaster mitigation grant program grant that was awarded to our jurisdiction back in the fall. We had to work out and finalize some details with the grant before appropriating the dollars through the council. However, this is a elevation project in Councilman Bell's district in the town, in the village of Port Penn, I don't say town, village of Port Penn, right next to our wastewater treatment plant. There is a second grant application that we received an award for too. That's an acquisition project. We're still trying to work some details out with that project also before moving forward with the council appropriation. With the community and the land. That's an acquisition project in Councilman Smiley's district over in New Ross Heights. This project is an elevation for a homeowner. They are responsible for the 25% match, which they have. That match has been committed by Senator Ennis and Representative Hensley through some of the funding that they have available, so it's being covered by state funding. That project, once we finish up the Bayview Beach elevation project or get that on course forward with a contract, then we will be able to utilize the existing contracts in place to finish this project. That's kind of why we're waiting for the appropriation, but now's a good time to put this through. This will elevate the home above the flood elevation, reduce their flood insurance costs, reduce the impact on the federal government for that, for any repetitive claims or any claims that they have for that, and assist them in not being in harm's way during flood situations down in Port Bend.
Questions or comments from council members? Questions or comments from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you for everything that you do in our emergency situations, the information that you provide to council members, getting the emergency center open when it's necessary, like it was last week. So thank you for your continued work and all that you do to keep us safe.
Appreciate it. We're actually able to still keep our commitment for an outreach last week too.
The next item on the agenda is 17-018, and it's under the sponsorship of Co-Chairman Bell and I, and this speaks for itself. It has to do with a grant that has been received, or with our approval will be received, from the Criminal Justice Council for our work in the city of Wilmington. And arguably, but I like to argue, if anybody thinks that our presence on the street in the city didn't make a difference between March numbers to date and January's numbers, then I think they're sadly mistaken. Once county police department hit the streets, and it was known that we were involved, and the message got out, everybody knew it was not business as usual. So I know folks would like to argue about it, but I make the argument that it has made a difference, and I appreciate the county exec for what he's done, to be supportive and be helpful. I appreciate the cooperation of the police department, your leadership, and what you're doing to help make a difference in the city of Wilmington. So thank you very much. Any questions, comments from council on the grant? Questions, comments from members of the public on the grant? Moving on, update, and I don't know who's going to do this, but I'll ask the director or the chief who's going to talk about Councilman Smiley's ATVs.
Thank you for the gift. Good afternoon. Before I'm on.
Say it.
Thank you. Colonel Vaughn. right now, Sergeant Faulkner is handing out a letter that we actually sent out just to give you a little bit of information about how we were going to proceed with dealing with the ATVs and that seasonal issue that we constantly deal with. Basically spelling out how, because it came to our attention that were some of our residents, or the citizens that were upset over the lack of immediate response to complaints involving ATVs. And so what we were hoping to do by putting this letter out is that you will be able to spread it out to your respective areas, and that this information might prove helpful to individuals, so that they understand that at times we are not able to immediately dispatch on calls for service involving ATVs. But I think it's important, and we kind of talked about this before, that, you know, for everyone to understand that we totally recognize what the issues are and the problems and the concerns that they have. I don't live near an open field. However, if I did, I certainly appreciate the concerns that they have. You know, the other day I was leaving from work, and we had to find out who had this, but it was a sight that was beautiful in my eyes. I looked over near our evidence bay, and there was a U-Haul there, and they had about four or five ATVs in there stacked up on each other. I don't know where they came from. I don't know if we seized them. I didn't get word on it, but I was happy to see it. So, but we have been taking an aggressive approach to it. We will continue measures of having officers out there. We've had a successful investigation by one of our officers, Jack Clark, who was out in the Scottsville area, and we did everything by the book. I know one of the things that I wish that we would have done, but I think he, in speaking with him, he kind of gave them a break, but I wish that we would have seized those ATVs. And so if they happen to show up again and we have their information, there's no question that they will be seized. That is something that I am, when we talk about the zero tolerance, I know that was a question that was presented to us, is what exactly is the zero tolerance? The zero tolerance for us in terms of ATVs is quite simple, that if we apprehend individuals who are illegally riding these ATVs, they will be cited. And in the majority of the cases, I can't think of too many times where we're not going to seize those ATVs and impound them, as we started doing last year. We had a couple cases where we actually impound those ATVs and they stayed in storage until the case was adjudicated. And those storage fees, eventually they racked up to the point that these individuals are saying, well, it's not even worth me paying for that to get the ATVs out. So I think that sends a strong message. Those that ride ATVs, they talk amongst themselves on a regular basis, so if that word gets out that, hey, the county police are seizing and they're impounding these ATVs, I think that hopefully that will help spread the message and cut down on some of the issues that we're having. Mm-hmm.
Councilwoman Bill.
Yes, I'd like to thank Colonel Bond because, you know, I think the Scottsville area, which of course has all of those power, lovely areas to ride with the power lines behind it. Those folks really get hammered in the spring and with the ATVs, and there's a great trail between the power lines and the community, which makes it even more difficult. So thank you for the work that everybody has done. I really appreciate it, and it certainly is making my spring easier with the advanced work that you folks have done on this issue.
Thank you. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah. I don't know where to start. I appreciate the increase in effort. I really do. And just since we are on tape, so somebody happens to listen to it, I appreciate the comment about the open fields. And I know you're well aware of what I'm going to say. 1340 up, we don't have a lot of open fields, and they don't need them. The streets between the houses in our neighborhoods are there racetrack, stunt course, you name it. They don't need a field. For out in Scottfield, I applaud that. Pulled in, checking things out, saw a trailer. They had apparently unloaded from the trailer. Staked it out, called for backup, waited for a guy. They don't need trailers in our district. They run Holloway, from Holloway Terrace, Gulfview Park. They run through our neighborhoods to get to the industrial park to run. And I know you're all aware of it. And then when we get down in that gully of the industrial parks, it just echoes and reverberates to all the surrounding homes. I appreciate what you've done. So do the residents. I mean, I don't have to tell you, you've been doing this far longer than I have, how hard it is to make someone understand the efforts are being made, but we can't just flip it like a light switch. And I just tell you, based on my last three meetings, they agree with me. They're not happy you can't shoot them either. And I'll rest it with that.
But you're right. It's really blatant. I know Sunday I was on my way home from church, and I was at 13 and Bacon, and all of a sudden here comes a motorcycle coming from Hampton Walk area, cuts right across 13, goes down 13, across the median, goes behind, it heads over there towards the Pep Boys, and then takes off. And, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, there's really no fear. And I think what the problem is that many of them know that law enforcement will not chase them.
Yeah.
And so they, and a lot of them want to engage and want to be involved in pursuits. And so,
get their adrenaline rush.
It really is.
And if I can follow up just real quick, and I know it's not just a county issue, because three council meetings ago, I was leaving town, and I went on out to South Market to go over that bridge. As I'm going over, there's 20 of them coming the other way, heading up towards Governor Prince. And I don't know that they were going where the mini storage is, where they had that big bust last year. But the issue is, too, I don't know if there's global warming or not. Really don't care. But this past winter, the way it's been, there's been no break in the ATV and dirt bike activity, because you all know you've been getting the calls. I mean, they're running through. Hell, I thought it was bad 30 years ago when we had a big snow. I looked outside and the snowmobile went up in front of the house. I'll take one of them once in a while. But so, just again, appreciate it. I know you're kind of hamstrung. All your officers are with what they can do. You know, there's no way you can pursue. But the fact that we're putting our own officers out there on the ATVs, on the trails, and on the greenways, which I said from day one would be a racetrack for them, and that's what they've turned into. But at least we've got it. I know you're doing everything that you can. And if we could just get the state to ban the sale of them, that might help a little bit. But okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Councilman Crowley and Councilman Tech.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Chief, I'm I kind of dubbed the term with this issue that you have to deal with, you know, every single year around the time a real good friend of mine, former state representative Bill Irby, said it's like trying to herd cats. You know, they're just springing in every kind of direction and you're out there trying to chase them, you know. And it's not only ATVs, it's also when I represented Tava States over there, we had a golf cart that would come out and just, like, you know, leisurely drive through the streets and all over the community, you know, a lot of the electric scooters, you know, things like that. When I represented Scottfield over there for 10 years, it was a huge issue every single year. And I did, one year I took a ride with the police and special services, and we rode back there, and it was an ATV haven back there. It was all secluded. There were little hills and trails and everything they could ride over. We found a burned car back there. I mean, it was a little bit of everything. But another issue we ran into was multi-jurisdictions, because a lot of them, they were trailering them in through the Delaware Industrial Park, parking there, which is state police jurisdiction, getting off the trailer, and then riding down. And then, of course, the power lines are state police, but when they would go off of that, it becomes ours. But also the state police don't have, you know, ATVs where they could actually go out and try to patrol the area too. So it's not an easy issue to get your arms around. It's one that, you know, you guys do your due diligence on, and you know, obviously you hear from us that we deeply thank you for, you know, your efforts in it. You know, many times these ATVs and whatever they are, they just get sold from person to person to person. There's never no kind of paper trails that go with them. You know, it's kind of like the trailers in the trailer parks in a sense at times. So it's something that, you know, there's a bear to deal with, but you do a great job. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Don't get proud.
Yeah. I got a couple things. First thing is with the state police jurisdiction, as you're saying, which is a lot in my area, and I don't see them doing as much. You're saying golf carts and sidekicks, Suzuki?
Yes.
I mean, they're running right down the road. Personally, I had a property, and I got houses across the road. Somebody called me that lives in one of the houses, said they're running in my field. First thing, I can't handle reliability. I can't ever allow anybody to ride on there because I'll be liable for it. I pull up, go to the guy and said, is there anybody riding out here? He said, who's asking? I said, the man that owns the property. He said, well, he's riding in the woods with his friend, he'll be up. Well, he was riding in my woods, and he comes riding right across the field. We asked him to just keep off our property. He said, can't you allow me? No, I can't. Can I rent part of your woods? No. He said, well, where are we going to ride? I said, in your acre in your backyard. You can run all the time you want around it. And what's happened, so it's been about a month of stock. The other night, my son's coming down, a sidekick pulls up there. It's 11 o'clock at night and runs right out into our field. Run around and pulls right up to that house. Now, I don't know who the hell to really call, you know, to stop this stuff. I know where it's coming from. All the tracks are going right to this one house. But it's a state police jurisdiction. The part of the problem is I own to the state line 20 feet off the road, and then it goes into Maryland. Now, do I call Maryland and Delaware or what?
I don't know, but
I'm not the only one with this problem. Right. These people move into the country, have an acre or two, and buy a four-wheeler for their kids, and they don't have any to ride. First thing he says, where can they ride? I said, how would you like it that I bring my tractor up and turn it in your yard and go back? What's the difference? I mean, I would get in big trouble, but I'm letting this guy tear up all my fields. And it's not just the kids, it's the parents.
Yes, you're right. You're right. What we find oftentimes, you talk about they're purchasing and they only have an acre.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of them that are being purchased in neighborhoods
like Castle Hills,
you know. And you just don't understand the mindset of a parent who's going to go out and buy something like this where there's nowhere for them to ride.
I can tell you this. We have four-wheelers. My kids had them. They were told, don't go on your neighbors because we don't have any liability insurance on it. You can only ride on our property or our farms. But how can you buy something? How's the law allowing them to buy them? There's nowhere to ride. You know, I agree with
you. We've got everything else. Maybe we can put an ATV trail in Glasgow Park.
Go ahead and keep
it. I think Wilton Park would be a better spot for that.
They got plenty of room. I don't want them to have to travel. They can put a little bridge over the fish.
Because of the liability. You can't.
He signed a waiver and sued him anyway.
That man.
Gentlemen. Michael doesn't know who's talking.
Well, you're talking to me, so go on.
It's not me. But I do. I mean, it's a problem all over the county. And, you know, you got it in your urban, I've got it in a rural. They think when they move out there, I can go buy whatever the heck I want and run on that open field across the road. And I think Stuart Ramsey's president of the County Farm Bureau, that would be up to you. I know he wants to.
This is a state issue.
I don't know. You got to ask him.
Any other comments from council members? Yes, sir.
Newcastle County Farm Bureau, and I'm going to speak specifically to my farm. My farm is right on the Delaware-Pennsylvania line. I farm a chunk of the national park and a whole bunch of chats on the ground. And I caught a group, and it is parents as well. I was actually happy to see that there was at least parents with them, but it was two trucks, trailers, five kids, two whole families, and they trailered up, parked in a parking lot, unloaded, everything. And it was actually just an accident. We found them on your dad's old farm, where he used to farm. Couldn't follow them all the way back. We lost them. And then we're coming down 202, and all of a sudden we saw them all loading up on their trailers. So I passionately confronted them. But there's just so little you can do. And I'm telling you, I know everybody takes it different ways, but as a farmer, I mean, I take it incredibly personally. I was so emotionally upset. And he said, we thought we were allowed to ride there. And I said, when you saw me make eye contact with you and you turned around and took off as fast as you could, you knew you weren't supposed to be there. So don't tell me you thought you were allowed to ride. But it's been a problem for as long as I've been alive. They just start more pervasive now.
And your name for the record, sir? Your name for the record?
Stuart Ramsey.
Thank you.
Newcastle County Farm Bureau.
Thank you. Councilwoman Dillon.
Just quickly, have we considered the use of drones to figure out where these things are coming from? We got drones, got people to operate them. We know where the ATVs are. If they're particularly like in Council District 7, they're coming from the communities. Can we figure out where they're coming from and we cite them for disorderly premise?
Vaughn Bond. Yes, currently we do have a drone. However, we had an accident with the drone.
Go no further.
However, once it's operational, that is something that we can definitely consider as a measure.
I just wonder how you ticket that operator.
Yeah, really.
What I would strongly encourage to you, sir, Councilman Powers, if you encounter individuals that are riding, call, and I know that you said there's an issue with who do you call. If you call the non-emergency number or 911 and have an officer come out there, especially if you see them out there riding and it's in a remote location like where you are, they had to get there somewhere. And so what we are encouraging officers to do is ride around, because sooner or later you're going to come across a trailer, a truck that they had to use. Sit there and wait there, and they're going to come back. So, instead of you saying something, because that, while, you're an intimidating person, they'll look at it and they'll say, okay, or whatever. But if the police come there and we're able to issue citations and seize those ATVs, I think that will go a long way.
I actually did have it, and the state police did issue citations. Stuart Ramsey, Newcastle County Farm Bureau. In the one instance, because I knew exactly where the truck was parked and they were still riding, I had a state ranger come, and he did exactly what I wanted. He gave them all fines, and he scared them to death. Basically said if they come back without insurance and they get caught, their units will be impounded, and it's like a minimum $1,600 fine, whatever. He could have said $2 million fine, as long as he had a badge and a uniform and he scared them to death. And those folks haven't been back, so that's not true.
Well, I had to, I guess I'm lit, ATVs was actually a dirt bike proof that you can teach an old dog new tricks, because I'm on Route 9, bike goes past me on the shoulder in the air, and there's a county police car sitting in front of me. He don't move. Now I'm livid. I call the chief. Chief calls him. Chief called me back, said, we didn't chase him because that's what he wanted. And then you chase him, and that increases the risk of somebody getting hurt, especially him. So what he did was he just kind of went behind at a normal speed and followed him in the development. and eventually he'll find the bike and deal with it. But, you know, for those of us who don't know all the policing methodologies, there's a reason we do and don't do everything. So I got put in short pants that day and haven't called about dirt bikes or ATVs since. Anything else on this topic? Councilwoman Dillon?
Oh, no, not on this topic, under other.
Okay. Anything on the other? Councilwoman?
Yes. I'd like to thank you for being the co-sponsor of the most obscure public safety ordinance ever passed by council, 15-005, the infamous archery ordinance. As I predicted, I think I told Dave that it would probably be used once every 2 or 3 years. Yesterday it was, so thank you for being the co-sponsor. And yes, I think it is
your district. Nine?
Yes, yep. Your district, yes. So it was not a total waste.
Co-Chairman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we all recognize, and you saw everyone how they feel and a recognition of your becoming our colonel. And we know that we will confirm that appointment as a formality. But I think that it is a great day in the county police's history. We all know that you've done the job, you've earned the job, you deserve the job. But let's not lose sight that over the last almost 3 months, you've served as the acting colonel and also the lieutenant colonel. And that's not easy to do, because the colonel has, as you know, and the men and women of the department know, has a tremendous responsibility in the overall leadership. But the lieutenant colonel's job is extremely important also. And there's a lot of things that the lieutenant colonel's job does to help support the colonel of the department, the administrator, overall administrator of the department. So why I'm bringing that up, we certainly should applaud the efforts of the director, the colonel himself, the men and women of the department, and the administration. But let's not lose sight that we need a lieutenant colonel now. And, you know, we didn't need somebody coming here from Florida Highway Patrol. Didn't need it before, don't need it now. We've all recognized that we have folks like yourself and the others that can sustain our organization in the future, well qualified, but now we need a lieutenant colonel. So I would encourage the colonel, the director, the administration, sort of post haste, to start working on the promotion of a lieutenant colonel. Because without a lieutenant colonel, I think you talk to the majors, the captains, and everybody, it certainly doesn't help the colonel do his job and administrate the department. If I'm wrong, correct me, but I think, you know, we need to move forward with also getting a lieutenant colonel.
Oh, Vaughn Bond.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, being in the position as the interim police chief, it made me appreciate my responsibilities and my role as a lieutenant colonel. You know, as a lieutenant colonel, you are responsible for overseeing the day-to-day operations. One thing that I see that the major difference is the amount of people and requests that come in, for people asking you to come out, speak with them, everything ranging, which I had a great time last week. We all went over to Newcastle Elementary School, and I didn't know it was going to be interactive day with the kids, but I found myself with the pom-poms and down on the floor and, you know, making up cheers and learning about leadership. And a lot of things that they taught us, I really think we could take back to the police department and share with the officers and better our agency. They were really outstanding. But you do those kind of things, but while you're there doing that and you're doing the community outreach, someone has to be at the building, someone has to be at the helm, and overseeing the day-to-day operations and making sure that things are being done that need to be addressed, the investigations are being properly supervised, that the men and women that are on the front lines are performing their jobs, and if there's questions or unusual situations or serious incidents that take place, you have someone who's there with the oversight that has the authority to make the decisions that need to be made in order to move resources around until the colonel can come in. So I agree with you 100%. That is one of the things that I had a brief conversation with the county executive And I'm hoping that everyone understands that we're on the same page, that that position is not a position that is just for looks and for show, that it holds a valuable role within our police department and our agency. So thank you very much for bringing that up.
Let me totally acquiesce what Co-Chairman Bell said. Anything else on the other? Director Bryan.
We have our upcoming on March 30th at 1 p.m. We have our award ceremony coming up, be held on that day. And again, I think many of you have attended that ceremony. It's a time when we take a moment just to recognize the good work that's performed by the men and women within the Department of Public Safety. So if you're available, please feel free to let us know. We'd love to have you there. We enjoy your support. And I think it's an opportunity for, sometimes you'll hear certain officers' names, but you never can put a face to that name. And I think when you go there, you'll see some of the work that's being done and actually get to put a face with the name. And I think it means a great deal to the men and women when they see county council members taking time out of their schedule to be there to support this.
Thank you, Director.
Director Bryan. As someone mentioned, Carl, this was truly a great day for Newcastle County Department of Public Safety. I know that we have the very best person at the helm to run this organization. As you sit here and listen to him, he's level-headed, he's calm, he uses a lot of his skill from the job, but also a lot of good things and common sense that was put into him by a lot of his mother and father and sister. So he's a good man. He's a strong leader. And more important, all together, a great team around him. We could not ask for anything better for this man as he starts his journey as the colonel for Newcastle County Department Police Division. So it's a great day for us, and I look forward to working with him. I think the biggest thing is we have it and we won't miss a step. And where we were, and where we've been, and as we move forward, we will not miss a step with this man. I can assure you of that. So, again, thank you for your support. And I think he has to be voted on sometime very soon. And sometime thereafter, we'll have some sort of celebration. We'll have a formal event where he will be sworn in, and we'll also work on it sometime very soon. And once we do get to know that, we'll let you know. I promise. Thank you.
Councilman Small.
Just for clarification, letting people know isn't the same as an invitation, right? Okay. Not that I won't put you on the spot. Okay. That's it. I'm done.
Well, then it's your turn. Do what you do.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
All right. Vote on it.
Yeah, I thought that was one of yours, and I thought, oh my God, it gets used every once in a while.
He put the veil right against the fence, and the dog next door was walking around with the arrow in his mouth. That's what he said. And it didn't go through the bottom, and it went through the fence. I know. That's exactly why.